Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It's time now for our Friday gathering, and this week I'm joined by Fine Gael TD for Dublin Mid West and Minister of State for Public Procurement, Digitalisation and E-Government, Eimear Higgins, the Sinn Féin Housing Spokesperson and TD for Dublin Mid West, Eoin O'Brien, political reporter at the Irish Independent, Gabia Gadafitzgaita, and spokesperson with the Stop Climate Chaos Coalition, Oisín Coughlan. And you're all welcome and thank you for coming in this morning. Eimear, we have to start with this front page news this morning about Graham Doyle, who's the top civil servant at the Department of Housing. And he was at a property conference yesterday saying he didn't think a housing czar was necessary. At this stage now, is the government prepared to drop this whole idea of a new figure heading up the Housing Activation Office? I mean, if he doesn't want it, how can you get it through?
Oh, well, I think we all agree that there needs to be a strategic housing delivery office, and ultimately you need somebody to lead that. It's as simple as that. The government has never christened whoever that may be a SAR. That's never been a word the government have used. What we've always wanted to do was create that strategic housing delivery office and have a leader there to make sure that we're pushing through plans for delivering when it comes to housing.
Yeah, and I know the department issued this clarification that it's the name housing czar that Graham Doyle isn't into. But he said more than that. He said there's a sense in some quarters that if you knock a few heads together, if you give enough people a kick in the backside, then things happen. I only wish that was the case.
That is part of the case. I mean, part of the case is that we have silos in operation in different government departments, and we do need to bring together people from those siloed organisations in order to break down those silos and to deliver progress and to accelerate government plans.
But if the Secretary General of the Housing Department doesn't think what you think, you've got a problem.
I don't think he said that.
He has said.
My interpretation of what he said is that he doesn't believe we need a housing czar, but that he is on board with the Strategic Housing Activation Office, which obviously needs a leader.
You think heads do need to be knocked together. He's saying if that worked, it would be great.
If it worked in its own, it would be great, absolutely. Of course, we need other things to happen with that. We need budgets, we need policies, we need laws activated. And that's all of the things that the government is working on. We have done an awful lot, even in the last couple of months, when it comes to the revised national planning framework, when it comes to the announcements of the new legislation to extend planning permissions for 2 years so that judicial reviews
don't
effectively
time them out. Do you agree with Jack Chambers? You mightn't like it, head of the Department of Housing, but we're the government and we make policy here.
I don't think that's what Minister Chambers said, to be honest. I was standing next to the minister at that press conference, and what he said, my recollection of it was that governments make policies and work in collaboration with our civil servants in our departments
to
enact them and make them happen.
It might be his own perspective, but you'll have to implement what the government decides.
What cabinet decides, absolutely. I mean, that the cabinet are elected to make our policy
decisions.
So
you mightn't like it,
but
you're going to have to deal with
it. What happens there is that our policies are made in collaboration with our departments and our civil servants who have expertise in this field and who we work with on it. From the perspective of the Department of Housing, which we're speaking about in particular, I think there's absolutely a recognition that we need a strategic housing office, and ultimately somebody needs to lead that. I mean, that's common sense. That person, of course, doesn't need to be a SAR. We don't need to get bogged down in terminology that the government has never used. What we need to do is find that person, get that person in situ and continue to accelerate the delivery of much needed homes across this country.
Your read of what was said yesterday. Is it about the language? Is it about semantics? Or does he just not want this person in the department?
It's much more significant than that. So first of all, it shows the utter shambles that the new administration is making of what was already a very, very bad housing crisis. And you see, when you go back to the first interview that Minister for Housing James Brown did in February, he talked, and this was the minister's language, he talked about wanting a maverick to knock heads and kick down doors. And if you have not only the Secretary General of the Department of Housing, but I suspect Graham is also speaking for the Secretary Generals of the Department of Public Expenditure, Reform and Finance, absolutely and very publicly and deliberately opposing the proposition, it tells you we've got a problem. For me, the bigger issue, of course, is what the government is proposing at the Housing Activation Office and two committees sat in the Department of Housing, separate from and interacting with, in a way we don't understand, with a infrastructure task force and an infrastructure unit in the Department of Public Expenditure Reform. None of that is actually what was recommended by the Housing Commission. They didn't want a czar or a group led by somebody. They wanted a mechanism with emergency powers underpinning legislation to bring together the people, the very people that Eimear is talking about, involved, for example, in public and private sector housing delivery or water infrastructure, electricity infrastructure, and get them to work together to plan, to coordinate. You don't need a new body. You don't need three new structures that is just going to create even more bureaucracy. And here's the consequence of not listening and working with the experts, is what you end up is huge delays. We've had enormous delays, as confirmed by Primetime on Tuesday of this week, in approvals for social affordable housing delivery. The Irish Council of Social Housing is saying that 3,000 fewer new homes will be delivered over the next number of years. Why? Because there's too much bureaucracy, too much red tape. I have to say, this Housing Activation Office is a dead duck before it's even started. Who's going to want to take the job? How are they going to deal with the resistance from the civil servants and the permanent government? And crucially, it'll have no underpinning legislation, no emergency powers. And I just think it's going to get in the way rather than solve the problems that we all know that are there, that the Housing Commission made recommendations to change, and that this government, like the last, is ignoring.
OK, Oisin, what's your take on it?
Well, it's not a good look when the Secretary General of your department speaks publicly in a way that suggests he doesn't agree with what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Secretary Generals don't speak out that often, and they don't look to make news that often. So whatever the, you know, this, whether it's semantic or whether it's substantial, it's not a good look. And Secretary Generals know what they're doing, if you know what I mean. I mean, he must have known he was going to be reported doing this. So, like, I'm not as much a housing expert as either of your two previous speakers, but and I do see the value, having you know, dealt with the civil service and politicians for a long time. There can be value to somebody who isn't a civil servant, like the special advisors can, working to a political mandate, break through barriers and move things along. Now, that's not the same as what's being proposed here. But so there can be a value to somebody who occasionally does annoy the civil service along the way in order to deliver what has been democratically decided. That I can see that value. But what isn't clear to me here is, why is the government not doing what the Housing Commission recommended? That was what they went to the through the process of that. They now seem to be doing things that look like that but aren't that. And it is definitely a bit shambolic now.
Can they go ahead with this, Gabby, given what's happened?
I think they will definitely do their best to go ahead with it. So there will be a list of names that will be brought to the Cabinet Subcommittee on Housing in early June. This debate over the phrase housing czar, like James Brown has used it in the Sunday Independent, he said, yeah, it'll be headed up by somebody like that type of housing czar, I suppose, although it's not a phrase I would personally use, he said, after having used the phrase. So he has used that phrase, and like that is like trying to communicate, like strategic housing activation office means nothing to the average person. A housing czar does mean something. I think it's interesting to see Graham Doyle's comments, because this is a person who's been at the head of the Department of Housing. He's been overseeing the rollout of housing for many, many years. And he says, God, I wish it was only so simple as knocking heads together. Mm-hmm. We've had this new minister come in that his own colleagues in Fianna Fáil have, you know, they raised eyebrows when he was appointed to the department. We saw how Fine Gael blocked the appointment of Brendan McDonagh and how that didn't get through at all. I think James Brown really has his work cut out for him, and it's really not been a good start for him.
OK, now let's just interrupt this for a moment, bring you some breaking news, because the former Sinn Féin leader, Gerry Adams, has won his defamation case against the BBC. This has emerged just in the last couple of minutes. And you'll remember and most likely know that Gerry Adams claimed he was defamed in a 2016 Spotlight programme and a subsequent online article which said he falsely claimed that he sanctioned the killing of former Sinn Féin official Dennis Donaldson. And Dennis Donaldson was shot dead in Donegal in 2006, just months after he admitted being an informer for the police and MI5 over two decades. Well, the jury was asked in this case if the words used in the programme meant that Gerry Adams had sanctioned the murder and not just presented as an allegation, as the BBC had argued. The jury answered yes to that question. It has rejected the BBC's defence that it was fair and reasonable to broadcast it in the public interest, and therefore it moved on to assess damages. So now we know that the jury of 11 in this case has awarded €100,000 in damages to Gerry Adams. That comes after 7 hours of deliberations. Ona Brin, do you want to react to that verdict? I know it's just come in the last couple of minutes, but what's your first reaction?
Sure, and I know the Donaldson family very well. I knew Dennis Donaldson, and I would have worked very closely with his daughter for many years. And I'm very conscious of two things. First of all, everybody has a right to their good name, and the allegation that was in the programme was very damaging, as today's verdict shows, for Gerry's reputation, particularly among his peers. But the real issue here, of course, is it highlights the fact that the Donaldson family still have not got the truth. I think that that programme will have compounded the difficulties for the family. And ultimately, I think what we need to know and what the Donaldson family desperately want to know is who was responsible for the killing of their father. So, look, Gerry took the action as a private individual. He has won that. But there's a broader issue here of truth. And those people who know what happened to Dennis Donaldson need to be brought forward so that family can get the truth and get some level of closure.
All right, we're going to leave that there for now, but we'll come back to it before the end of the programme because our reporter Diane Connor is down at that case and we'll speak to Diane hopefully in the next few minutes or so. But to come back to the stories of the week, and we're talking about Secretaries General speaking out. We also heard from the head of the Department of the Environment, Una Buckley, who said we need to make choices now between data centres for AI and housing. We know that data centres have used up, and she has confirmed this as well, any spare capacity in the energy grid. So she suggests then that what this means is that this requires policymakers to make stark choices. Oisin, is she right?
Yes, and I was in the room when she made that comment at the event she was at, and it was striking to hear her. This is the second Secretary General speaking out this week, because she's not an environmental firebrand. She's a serious operator running her department, and to basically come out and say that we have a, you know, she knows government priority is housing, but the government, Micheál Martin, has been speaking very lovingly about data centres recently. And for her to come out and say, there's a real problem here, we can't do both at once, is, I think, a real challenge to government policy. Mm-hmm. And she's right. I mean, data centres are now using 21% of our electricity. They're putting a lot of pressure on the grid. We've seen reporting that shows that there's places where you can't put more housing on the grid now because around Dublin, 50% of the electricity in Dublin and surrounds is now used by data centres. Right now, half all the electricity in Dublin is for data centres. That's entirely unsustainable. And it's not in line with what the people of Ireland need most right now.
Yeah, Jack Chambers came out strongly on this as well. And he said, yes, we have constraints that are immediate, but if we're going to build and enhance the green and digital transition as an economy, we need to work with the community that are there. That means the data centres and the investors that are there in terms of digital infrastructure. So that tells you where the government's mind is at on this.
Sure, and no one is saying we can close down or should close down the data centres that are there, although they should be better regulated and have more transparency about how, the power they're using and so on. But, like, for example, the Taoiseach went to Arklow recently to a launch a new data centre, and the big spin was it's going to finance offshore wind in Arklow. And that may happen, hopefully, but it'll be 2030 sometime. Right now, because that hasn't got permission and it isn't through planning or anything, right now they are building a gas power station to use more gas to power that data centre. That is just not sustainable. The government's own energy security review, which is controversial in other ways, said very clearly gas demand must go down over the next 10 to 15 years. So, look, sometime in the late 2040s, if we build off the offshore wind, which is not moving fast enough, we may be able to have lots and lots of data centres. But right now, we can't prioritise data centres over needing the electricity for homes themselves, but also for, you know, renewable renewable heating in homes, renewable cars, electric cars. We need the electricity for that.
So what do you say to the minister sitting here in front of you on this? I mean, are you saying that this is the government sticking their fingers in their ears?
Well, they seem to be right now saying, we know voters are worried about housing, but we're more worried about keeping big tech happy and keeping Trump happy. That's the effect of what they're saying, that they're going to prioritize big tech and not antagonizing the US administration rather than making sure we have clean electricity for our population.
Quite the accusation, Eimear.
Well, listen, I suppose, firstly, just to talk about facts, there's a 2.5 billion euro upgrade in the grid underway. We know that with AI comes an extra requirement for our data storage, and that's a capacity issue right across the globe. And because we have ambitious housing targets that we're committed to, and because we do want to protect our economy as well, we will need additional investment in the grid. So those conversations are happening at the moment in relation to how additional funding from the Apple escrow and the proceeds of the bank shares can be used to further enhance things like the grid, Irish Water, all of the utilities and the infrastructure that we're going to need to be able to develop our housing and also to develop our industry. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what the infrastructure unit is looking at. We have our national development plan underway. We'll have July, the next iteration of that, published.
When the Secretary General of the Department of Energy says this, that we have to make choices now, do you hear that?
Of course we hear that. And what we want to do is make sure that we're making the right choices and that we're balancing things correctly. I mean, we know that emissions are decreasing in Ireland, carbon emissions, and that's against a backdrop of a hugely increasing population and an increase in economic activity.
But so what she's telling you is that the data centres have taken up all of the spare capacity and you want to build all of these houses as well.
We need extra capacity. That's why we're investing in the grid, to be able to unlock housing developments and to be able to continue to invest in our economic channels too, because both need to happen. Housing is our number one priority. We've been very clear about that.
But the timelines don't work. We need the grid we have now for housing. Once we build that grid, maybe we can have more data centres in 2030s or 40s when we have the wind and the grid. But right now we can't afford in any way, environmentally or socially, we can't afford to be prioritising data centres.
Owen, can we do everything all at once?
Of course not. And this is a classic case of a government who, first of all, are responsible for chronic underinvestment in the grid and in water infrastructure and creating the problems that we have, not listening to people who know what they're talking about. And it's not just the Secretary General of the Department of Environment, Energy and Climate, although she is an expert in planning, because of course she was the acting chair from Bord Pleanála and was a senior civil servant when the original Planning and Development Act was passed in 2000. But the Commission for the Regulation of Utilities has also said this, Lynn Boylan, MEP.
Sorry, Owen, we're just going to listen to Gerry Adams making a statement outside the court.
Victims, families who have had to watch all of this. And I want to say that the Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, should meet the family of Dennis Donaldson as quickly as possible, and that there's an onus on both governments and everyone else, and I include myself in this, to try and deal with these legacy issues as best that we can. So I want to thank the court. Tell me, if we are awake and courage, or in Brahev, August, Tommy Maradurt, Maradurt Paul, Tommy Hans, Asta Lesh, and Verdict.
Gerry Adams speaking in Irish again and
talking
about
that. Gerry Adams there speaking outside of the court. And just a reminder, he has won that legal action he has taken against the BBC, and the jury has awarded him €100,000 in damages after 7 hours of deliberations. He had claimed that he was defamed in a 2016 BBC Spotlight programme and a subsequent online article, and the jury agreed with him. So he's making that statement there. And we're going to come back to Diane Connor, who was down at that case when the verdict came in just before the end of the programme. Now, let's flip back, and I'm conscious that I'm interrupting, and coming back.
To continue the point I made, so the Commission of Energy Regulation, as revealed by Lynn Boylan, Sinn Féin's MEP for Dublin, only a number of weeks ago, have themselves not only warned in a general point, but actually highlighted, for example, in the constituency that Eimear and I share, electricity substations that were built primarily to service additional housing supply now have almost all of the capacity eaten up by data centres. You've also got independent research by experts in the field like Hannah Daly. So there is a growing body of opinion that's saying right now, you cannot do everything. And if government is saying housing is their number one priority, I dispute that, but that is, then that has to be the priority in real terms. And that means not just having a debate about this, but the Commission for the Regulation of Utilities have said they want the power that their counterpart has in the Netherlands to be able to actually make decisions about grid access on the basis of government's policy priorities, which means, for example, if it's about new housing or if it's about an additional data centre, and Oisin is right, the data centres we have are part of our economy, then it needs to go for housing. At some point, the government has to listen to the ever-growing body of evidence. And one of the concerns I have is not just that we're going to very quickly see planning permissions either refused or made conditional on additional capacity, both in the electricity grid and water, which isn't currently there. But we're
planning
also... planning permissions for housing. Like, we're already seeing, for example, in West Dublin, we're seeing new planning permissions being conditioned on available access. If that access doesn't arrive, not only will they not get activated and built, but new planning permissions won't even be granted. But if the CRU, right, if the SecGen of the department, if independent research is saying right now the priority for new grid connections has to be housing, then that is what government should be doing.
What does that mean? Does that mean you stand up and you wave at Donald Trump and you say, hi, we're closed for all of your data centres. We're done. We're finished. Is now the time to do that?
If people cannot access homes, then there isn't an economy for those people to work in. And therefore, right now, the priority has to be housing. It also, of course, has to be affordable housing, and that's a separate issue. And the problem with the proposition that Emer has put is, if you take water, for example, it's a year and a half since Ishke Aaron asked the government for the additional 1.7 billion over 5 years to increase capacity to meet the government's new housing targets. They still haven't got an answer. It's all very well saying we're discussing this and we're looking at what we're going to do. Investing in infrastructure takes time. For example, the Greater Dublin Drainage Project, which is vital to our wastewater treatment and to new housing delivery, has been in the planning system for 7 years. It was remitted back to the board 2.5 years ago. And Port Pleanála still doesn't have the staff that it requires. Mm-hmm. So like, if these types of projects take so long, increasing the capacity, whether it's on the electricity grid or the water and wastewater network, takes years, in part because of underinvestment by government, lack of funding for staff in the bodies.
Yeah,
so prioritise housing. That is crystal clear and needs to be done.
Can I just make the point that, like, in fairness, politicians Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and others that have been in government for the past number of decades and that are in part responsible for the housing crisis as well as the many blockages that we have in our systems, they are responsible. But, like, so are the civil servants who are at the top of these departments, not just government departments, but other state bodies. They're also responsible in part for those blockages. And like, when we hear about, we're going to bring in this housing czar and he's going to knock all the heads together, like, that sounds great. But when we see civil servants who are, you know, we don't hear their opinions being expressed very often. So when they do, it is quite significant, especially when it clashes directly with government, what the government is saying, saying, well, actually, we can't do this and we have to do this and what the government's doing is not right. Like, that's quite remarkable. And it's really this case of passing the buck and saying, well, it's not our fault, actually. Well, the government shouldn't be doing this. It's not my problem. Well, this wasn't my department. I was somewhere else. And like, somewhere has to take accountability at some stage and say, you know, if we're going to take the housing crisis seriously, we're going to do something about it. And I think, like, really, ministers shouldn't be fighting publicly with their secretary generals, because they're supposed to be working together to try and solve.
What does it tell us about the level of frustration at secretary general level if they feel the need to do this?
But they have power to do something as well. Like, it's not like they're in there directly advising countless ministers, not just one minister, but minister after minister for many years on end. So if they're frustrated, they are best positioned to do something about it. I mean, but it's great to get their viewpoint and it's great to say, isn't the government awful? And isn't the government terrible for being so slow? And in part, that is true. But also, you know, it is up to them to act. And also, I will say, like, when it comes to tariffs, we see how uncertainty is such a huge problem for companies who are trying to come here, trying to set up. And so when the government is trying to, I suppose, strike a fine balance, like, it does pose challenges when people on their own teams are coming out and saying, well, what you're doing is wrong.
But crucially, civil servants can't decide whether or not, for example, you spend hundreds of millions of additional euros of taxpayers' money.
They can advise.
On upgrade, they can advise. Yeah. And let's wait until we see the FOIs and what they said. But these are political decisions. And Jack Chambers can't have it both ways. On the one hand, if he says government decides, civil servants act. Well, in this one, for years, this Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government haven't acted, haven't invested, and the consequences right now are...
So let me give you an example in our own constituency, Owen, of where we have acted when it comes to water. We have a €59 million investment in the Boher Buoy water scheme, the new reservoir in Saggart. Like, projects like that are happening up and down the country.
But that's just for compliance with current standards.
Let me finish my point. I mean, we've the East Midlands Water Supply is the long-term response. We know that. That is part of the programme that is happening.
For years it's, by it's, government's failure it's not to enact delayed. Legislation.
It's absolutely not being delayed. It's now with them to put together their planning permission application to onboard Planola. That will happen this year. That project was approved by government last year. Funding was put in place. That's the long term. And in the shorter
not,
term,
that's not
we need
what
Ishka Aaron
are saying. You're misrepresenting. You're misrepresenting.
We need to absolutely invest in raw water, sewage, as you've said, the Greater Dublin drainage scheme. And we need
but
to.
That hasn't even come out of
plants.
Onboard Planola because it doesn't have staff. Here's the problem. Ishka Aaron have made it very, very clear. All of those investments, and Emer is right, those investments are on the way, are to deal with issues of compliance, bringing our existing water and wastewater system up to EU standards as required by EU directives. What Ishka Aaron have been saying since January of last year is, if you want to go beyond compliance, if you want to increase capacity to meet the kind of targets the government is proposing, then you have to add an additional 1.7 to 2 billion euros
and that,
over 5 years, and no decision
and
has been made
by government.
And that is government.
Why we have a new infrastructure
no
unit
decision
within
has
the Department
been made for government.
Public Expenditure and Reform to literally deal with that. That is why we've established exactly that.
What Gabby raised about the Secretary-General's, because Una Buckley does not have the power to instruct the CRU. That needs to come from government. They need to be given the authority to actually manage this properly. Because we saw this week as well how off track we are on the climate targets, which will bring more fines on us and less money to invest in infrastructure. Better to invest money now and avoid those fines.
Okay.